I thought I had to record tonight. I saw Brother Jeff walking through the doors, and I was like, is that a phantom? No, he's flesh, and blood. Amen. Amen. But we keep our brother in prayer. I know next Wednesday he won't be here. He's going to be preaching down at Long Hill. So we definitely keep him in prayer. So we'll, although I wrote it on the on the prayer list tonight, it's still valid. Amen. All right. Let's get going here. So I want to ask you to turn to the book of Philemon. The book of Philemon. And we're going to finish up the book. Last time I preached here, I covered most of the verses. And I think we're up to verse 22 to 25. And we'll be finishing up the book of Philemon. So the topic of, this will be part two of that sermon there, of forgiveness and reconciliation. Forgiveness and reconciliation. So, verse 22 to 25, let's read. Withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute Epaphroditus, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, with your spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, I just want to thank you, Lord, for the privilege of allowing me to be able to give forth your word. Pray, Lord, that I'll be a blessing to the folks that are here at Bible Baptist Church. And once again, we'll lift our pastor up in prayer, Lord, as he's teaching your word. And Lord, just pray that you continue to give him strength, Lord, and that he'll be a blessing there as well. And once again, we're just so thankful for the opportunity to be here in this local church. Although it's small, we have a big ministry, and we don't take that lightly, and we take it seriously. So, Lord, we just ask your blessings and all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so just as a kind of a recap of the last time that I was here, up here, rather, preaching on the book of Philemon, we talked about this topic of forgiveness and reconciliation, all right? And so the book of Philemon, what is the book of Philemon? And, you know, I stated this before. I'll just do a brief overview before I get back to the immediate text. So the book of Philemon is a personal letter from the Apostle Paul to Pastor Philemon addressing the issue of Onesimus. And who was Onesimus? He was a runaway slave who has become a Christian by being born again by the preaching of the kingdom of God. Paul appeals for Onesimus' acceptance and reconciliation in love, emphasizing themes of forgiveness, Christian brotherhood forever, and power of faith. Forgiveness and reconciliation is the central theme of this letter. That is the call to forgive and to accept Onesimus despite of his past. Okay, and we all can relate to that because we all have a past. All right, what was the purpose of Philemon? This letter he committed Pastor Philemon, that is Paul, for his love and his ministry towards the saints. And that's verse 1 through 7. All right. Number 2, he encouraged Philemon to restore his runaway slave, Onesimus. All right. 3, he pleaded Philemon to prepare for Paul's soon visit. And we'll be covering that last bullet point. You know, his plea for Philemon to prepare for Paul's soon visit. And then as we got a little more into the details, the last time I preached on this here, We see in verse 17 through 19, we see where Onesimus was an escapee from Philemon who apparently stole some of his goods. So apparently he was a slave to Philemon, and he stole some things from him. All right. Also, Onesimus ended up, you know, in Paul's presence when he was in jail. And through the preaching, being around Paul, he got saved. All right. And then after being saved, Onesimus ministered to and with Paul. Right. So in verse 11, we see it says, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee. So the name Onesimus means profitable. So he puns on that word. Okay, so he was unprofitable before he got saved. Now he's profitable. Now he's saved. All right. And then Paul knew that Onesimus needed to be returned to his original master. Right. And he says in verse 13, whom I have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without the mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as if it was of necessity, but willingly. So we note here that Paul, you see here that Paul says that he was sending a part of his own heart to Philemon. You see, Onesimus was truly a blessing to him when he was in his bonds, right? You know, he was a dear, dear friend of his, Paul, but Paul knew he had to send him back, you know. And by way of application, when someone does someone wrong, in this case here, by way of application, just like someone here at Bible Baptist Church might have been disciplined out for some reason, okay, and not that we glory in disciplining folks out, but when it does happen, you know, we pray for restoration for that person to repent and to come back. And we have to receive that person back with open arms. So, I had mentioned before, I see a situation where I know of personally of some folks who have been disciplined out of this church, and they're in another church, okay, and serving and being a blessing to that church, right, which is fine, but not fine, okay, because if that pastor's aware of that, his job is to play the role of like the Apostle Paul did, as to return that individual back to the assembly, you know. And then going forward, if they're in, you know, good faith and good standards, and if they choose to move on, we do it the right way, you know, biblically, and you're transferred. So Paul also recognized that Onesimus now had a new relationship with Philemon, which would impact them forever. Okay, and he says in verse 15, and I'm just kind of recapping, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldst receive him forever. So although he was a runaway slave, right, temporarily for a season, now that he's saved, he could be his brother for Christ forever. All right. So now, and then in verse 17 through 20, we see where Paul says, if thou count me therefore a partner, okay, he's writing his letter to Philemon, received him as myself. If he have wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. Paul had written it with my own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Verse 21, having confidence in the obedience I wrote thee, knowing that thou would also do more than I say. So, you know, he writes this letter to him, you know, and here I see where he says that if he wronged thee or if he owed thee, put it to my account. Here I see Jesus Christ in his hair, right? You know, he took our sins and put it on his account and died on the cross, you know. So we as believers, you know, when someone wrong us and they come back to and they repent, you know, and got that thing right, you know, we are to forgive them. You know, we should be the perfect examples of that because of what Christ has done for us. So we see here the Apostle Paul is living out what Christ has done for him, right? So we are to be what? Christ-like. We're to be Christ-like, right? And we see the Apostle Paul is identifying with that, and we see that picture here. So Paul, he makes an astounding request. He asked Philemon to receive a slave who was a lawless thief, just as he would receive himself. You see, most people would not even want to be seen with a lawless thief, much less to be known as a partner or a brother to one. But Paul boldly stepped forward and asked that Onesimus, the slave and the thief, be received as a partner and a brother. And note how sincere Paul was. Paul said that he would personally pay for whatever money or whatever goods that Onesimus had stolen from him. Right? So why should Philemon accept this? Because Philemon should always remember, Pastor Philemon, you should always remember the debt he owed for his salvation. You see, Paul had led him to Christ. You see, therefore, Philemon owed his very life to Paul in that sense. Okay, now we know Paul didn't die for him, all right? And the Lord used Paul as a vehicle to win him to Christ. Just like some of us, right, we probably have led someone to Christ, you know. And, you know, once that person came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and know that they were a sinner that was on their way to hell and realized that their debt was paid in full by Jesus Christ, you know, it's like, man, I owe you everything, forgive me, this truth, you know. And for the Lord, and for you or I, to even submit to doing the will of God, to be able to give forth the truth and to have that to happen. All right? So we see here Paul's plea. We see that. So Paul said that he would be filled with joy and refreshed if Philemon would receive Onesimus as a partner and a brother in the Lord. You see, Paul said, Paul said that he had great confidence that Philemon would grant the request and even go beyond and do more, you know. So not only did he forgive him the debt, but even maybe to release him, all right, to go far and beyond, all right, for down to Onesimus to do the will of God for his life. So here's the thought. The one thing that people need above all else is to be received, right? No matter how low or base or useless or unprofitable, sinful or crippled or diseased, okay? When someone walks through their doors that we don't know and they may be lowly at state, okay, and they're willing to repent, we are to receive their brother or sister, you know, once they repent of their sins, okay? and not to look down upon them. Sometimes us as believers, you know, we've been in this thing for a little while, get dressed up, come in, and, you know, we get a little pious attitude, like we're better than somebody else, you know. But we are just as dirty and filthy just as them, you know. So we have to keep that in mind, right? We must always remember that we are debtors to Christ and to the world. Every man, woman, and child, Christ has saved us and given us the fellowship with himself and God the Father and with one another. Therefore, we are spiritually debtors to all. All of us. So it saddens me when a brother or sister does not exercise the faith of forgiveness and reconciliation. That is not the characteristics of a Christian. That is not the characteristics of someone to be Christ-like. I thank the Lord that he was merciful unto me, a sinner, and that he forgave me of my sins. And even when I do sin, which I will, okay, that I can go before him and I can repent of that sin and he will forgive me. So why can't we? So in these verses, these last couple of verses, 22 to 25, it says here, but withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I should be given unto you. Okay? See, so Paul had this confidence as he was praying while he was in prison, right? He was asking Philemon to prepare his lodging, meaning prepare your place, because I'm coming, you know. And that is one of the qualifications of a pastor, is to show hospitality, right? Have good hospitality, right? And one of the things that I like when I see it played into action here at Bible Baptist Church, I looked at my pastor and I've seen how he has taken believers into his home. Really. You know, and I'm watching, I'm seeing this. That you don't know how much that impacted me, you know, and to do that, you know. So that's one of the qualifications of a pastor. All right? Yeah, make sure the house is clean. Make sure the bedroom's clean. Okay. But yes, you know, so, you know, hospitality, you know, showing great hospitality. So here's some the final greetings some believers in this church, right? We see here that Paul was eternally optimistic. We see Epaphroditus was imprisoned for his faith. We see Mark was redeemed. We see Aristarchus he was always there. We see Demas, he was also forsook Christ. We see Luke, how he gave all to Christ and how he was beloved, right? And then we're going to look at the conclusion of much needed benediction, which is the grace of Jesus Christ, all right? So why the Holy Spirit guided Paul by this inspiration of naming each and every individual here in verse we start in verse 23. We say, there salute the Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ. Now, who was he? Right? So, Epaphras, he was a servant of the Lord. He was the pastor of the Colossian church. Right? He was a faithful minister, the Bible says in Colossians 1:7. It also says that in Colossians 4:12 that he was a servant of Christ. And also in 1:7, he was a fellow servant who was ever so dear to Paul's heart. So we see his name is mentioned here. Okay. He was so committed and dedicated to Christ that Paul called him my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. So he was a believer who fervently labored and toiled in prayers for his dear people at Colossae, that is his church members, because he was a pastor. He prayed in particular for one thing, that they might be perfect and complete in all the will of God. That is, that they might know the complete will of God and do his will perfectly. So what a request of a pastor who fervently toiled on his knees and prayed for his church members. And we see that in his life there, you know. So as a pastor, I've heard my pastor how he's prayed for us, you know, individually, you know. And one day, you know, as the Lord will lead me to start a church, you know, that I will have that same willingness to pray for those individuals who will be in my assembly one day, Lord willing. Okay. So Epaphroditus, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you always. This is in Colossians 4:12, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. So we see that in Colossians 4:12, right? Now, having a heart as a pastor, or even just anyone who's a believer, okay, under the context of the local church, okay, we should have a willingness to serve and want to win souls to Jesus Christ, right? And we see that the Great Commission was given, right? It's to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, right? So in John chapter 4, verse 34, 35, Jesus even said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and that cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white and ready for harvest. You know? So we need to have that mindset, okay, to do the will of the Father. Jesus had that, and he said to do the will of the Father while he was here on earth. Next, in verse 24, back in our text here, we see he mentions someone else, Mark. We see Marcus, which is Mark, okay? John Mark, that is. So he was the young man who was redeemed. So Mark had earlier deserted Paul in the ministry, right? So, but note what Paul says to the Colossian church. He tells the church that they are to receive John Mark, right, if he were able to visit them. So apparently some early instructions had been sent to the churches founded by Paul, telling them about Mark's desertion, right, when he deserted them. But now the young man had repented and recommitted his life to Christ, and he had redeemed himself. Therefore, he was now welcome, all right? So, by way of application, when a believer fails, and a believer will fail you, I will fail you, right? I'm old enough in the Lord, or seasoned enough in the Lord to know that you will fail me, okay, and not take it personal, right? So when that happens, we're to welcome back with open arms once someone is repented, right? We must not hold personal failures and sin against them. You see, Christ has forgiven us for so much, all of us, right? Therefore, we must forgive and welcome our brothers and sisters back to our hearts and lives, right? The Bible says in Acts chapter 8, verse 22, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray, God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Right? 1 Peter 4, 9 says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. So we see that in the life of John Mark. We see also in verse 24, Aristarchus, right? He was the believer who always was there when needed, a faithful companion. He is always seen with Paul and other believers, joining them in their great trials and suffering, right? So he was a member of the Thessalonian, the church at Thessalonica, okay? Citizen of Thessalonica, right? We see that in Acts chapter 20, verse 4, right? So he was the one of the believers that was attacked by the violent mob at Ephesus, right? So the citizens of Ephesus were rioting against, Paul and these believers because so many people were being converted that it was cutting into the sales of the idols that was made to the goddess Diana. Right? So they didn't like that. Right? So the fact that Aristarchus was one of the believers attacked and dragged before the mob shows that he was a leader and a spokesman for Christ. Okay? And you will see that in Acts 19:29. So he went with Paul to minister. Alright? He is seen traveling with Paul to Rome after Paul had been arrested and was being transferred to Rome as a prisoner. So he is seen as a fellow prisoner with Paul in Rome while Paul was awaiting trial on the charges. Okay, apparently he too was being charged with the same crime, according to Colossians 4:10 and Philemon 24, right? So the point is that he was a real companion, a companion who stood by the side of his fellow believers through the thick and the thin. He would never think of deserting his dear friends in the Lord or his brothers in the Lord, no matter how difficult the task or how terrible the trial was. He would face imprisonment and even suffer death before he would be a turncoat, okay? So he was a good man to have around when facing trials, right? For he would stand by the side of his friends or his brothers and sisters in Christ, even if it meant imprisonment or even death, right? The Bible says in Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Hebrews 13:3 says, remember them that are in bonds as bonds with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourself also in the body. So he was, Aristarchus was a person that we would say today, he was your ride or die brother. He was your ride or die. He's with you, through the thick and the thin. I remember a story you mentioned about you and a brother, they were taking on some folks and you turn your backs on one another. I got this side, you got that side. Okay? Now, we're not glorifying being in the world and being in sin, but that's the idea that how he was. He had Paul's back in the Lord. So we should have each other's back in the Lord. No matter what. It doesn't matter whether skin color, whatever. Okay, you went to the cross, just like I went to the cross. At the foot of the cross is level, right? And you're my brother, you're my sister in Christ, and I'll go to bat for you. Next, we have Demas. He mentions even Demas, right? So Demas, who was he? He was a man who turned away from Christ, and he went back to the world, you know? So the Lord see fit that Paul would mention his name, you know? So I think we can relate to that. You know, we know brothers and sisters in Christ, whether it be in this church or maybe some other church, who once walked with the Lord, even preached from this pulpit, and now back in the world. So it's true. It's real. You know, these things happen. Paul can testify to that. You know, we can testify to that as well, right? So Demas, his life is written in tragedy, a life that serves as a warning to other believers, a life that shows the utterly necessity of walking in Christ daily at first. He is seen as a fellow laborer, according to Philemon 24, right? Later, he is just a name with no comment at all, perhaps suggesting the detection of some loss or, you know, in the work of the Lord, and walked away. The Bible says that he was, you know, that Demas, who loved this present world, you know. So as I look at the characteristics of these individuals that are mentioned here, as Paul mentioned, under the inspiration of the Lord, we look at ourselves. You know, what will be written about you for eternity? You see, this is in the scriptures, and this is in heaven. Okay, the attributes of each and every one of these individuals is listed forever. What would the Lord write about you? What would he write about me? That will last forever, that will be in eternity. Then we have Luke. We see that also in verse 4. We see his, you know, my fellow laborers. Right, so we see Lucas. So when I looked at Lucas here, I thought about my grandson. Now, I don't know, okay, if he was named after, you know, Luke of the Bible, Lucas, Luke, okay. And I'm just curious because Lucas, you know, spiritual gifts is teaching. So there might be some connections there. I'm not sure. But Luke. You know, you see Luke was there. He's mentioned. All right. And Colossians 4:14 says that Luke, the beloved physician. He was not just only a physician, but he was beloved. Right? So all that the world had to offer, he was a physician who was beloved by Paul in the church of, at Colossae. Luke is said to be the beloved physician, a physician who was dear to the hearts of believers. Apparently, his medical treatment, you know, he probably treated them, you know, medically and gave them the gospel as well, you know, and used all these medical terminology, you know, from the scriptures to be able to win these folks to Christ, okay? And he taught them. So, you know, the Bible says in John 13:34-35, a new commandment I have given to you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. All right? So we are to love one another. And one of those attributes of that is to love, right? And he called him, you'll be one of my disciples. Okay? So, love one another. And then, lastly, verse 25, we see here, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. All right? So the conclusion is much needed benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ above all else. The one thing is needed by every person is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, right? And then not of yourself, but it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I thank the Lord for his grace upon my life personally. Now, I don't know about each and every one of you. I've heard your testimony, but I know what he's done for me. And I know what he's extended his grace to me. And I thank the Lord in 1981 in the streets of New York City, all right, that the Lord saw fit that I bowed down my knees under some circumstances, right, which pressured me, Lord, to repent of my sins and trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I thank the Lord for his grace. So merited favor. And I thank the Lord for that. So, as we conclude, we finish up this overview of the book of Philemon. This letter, which I mentioned earlier, this personal letter, okay, was from the Apostle Paul, right? It's the context, right? To Pastor Philemon, and he was addressing the issue about Onesimus, right? Who was a runaway slave who has become a Christian when he ran into Paul, and Paul preached to him the kingdom of God, and he got saved, right? So we see Paul appeals for Onesimus, okay? So that's whenever we struggle about forgiving someone, maybe we should turn to this book. I know we know Matthew 18, right? But let's see it played out. Philemon book pictures that, you know? And I'm just thankful that having the opportunity to read this book and seeing all these names and different analogies here, that is truly what is blessing to me personally as I read this, which reminds me that, you know, I'm a debtor, you know, to Christ. So who am I that I can't forgive someone? You know, because Christ has forgiven me. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, I'm just so thankful for your truth and the word. I just pray, God, Lord, as we look in this mirror called the Bible and do some self-reflection. Maybe there's someone here who's hearing this message needs to forgive someone. Christ has forgiven you. Christ has forgiven me. And I'm so thankful to try to follow or model my life after my Savior, Jesus Christ, who forgave all, and he gave his life for it as well. So we thank you, Lord, for this message. I pray, Lord, that it your word doesn't come back void, and that the Holy Spirit work in the hearts of each and every one of us as it pertains to this book of Philemon. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.